And folks, I want to turn you tonight, just briefly, please, to what is, as I said, a very well-known portion of Scripture. It's the story of Naaman, the leper. Many years ago, a man who was a manufacturer of soap, of all things, who wasn't a Christian, was out walking one day with a gospel preacher. And he said this as they traveled along. You know, he said, your gospel is not much good. There's still a lot of sin and sinful people in the world. The preacher never spoke. Just shortly after that, as they walked along, they saw a child who was very dirty. He was playing in the mud. The preacher said to the man who manufactured soap, you know, folks, our friend, soap is no good. There's still a lot of dirt and a lot of dirty people in the world. The man reacted very swiftly and said, but soap is only effective when it is applied. Exactly, said the preacher. The gospel becomes effective when it is applied. And folks, that's so very true. An old fellow used to pray in the Martyrs many years ago when he recalled the days of his early conversion. He said, Lord, it's better felt than telt. And I knew what he meant. You can only tell it when you've experienced it. And you can only feel it when you've experienced it. You've got to apply it to yourself. And this is the lesson that Naaman had to learn. In this very remarkable story, we see in a lovely type the very essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we preach. There's some things about Naaman I want you to think about very briefly. First of all, Naaman was a man who was triumphant. Look at verse 1 of the chapter. He was captain of the host of the king of Syria. Was a great man. Now, there's not too many you can say that about and mean. A great man. You imagine yourself at the very pinnacle of success. You've gone as far as you can go. You're top of the tree in your employment, in your business. Everything is well. Then one day, you feel a little unwell. Maybe a pain. Make inquiries and after some tests, the doctor tells you the bad news, you're terminally ill. Folks, at that moment, all your greatness, all your ability, all your talent means absolutely nothing. Well, that was Naaman. He was a great man, an honorable man, a man that delivered Syria, a mighty man, yet he was a leper. Because of his position in life, he was very important. He was the king's right-hand man. As a captain, he was valiant. As a commander, he was victorious. He was a war hero. I was reading the life story of a U.S. film star by the name of Audie Murphy. You older people here would certainly have heard of him. I love watching the films he made, cowboy films. But he made a film one time about his own life. And his life was quite remarkable. At the end of the Second World War, he became the most decorated soldier in the history of the United States. It would seem more medals than anybody else ever won in the world. He was a small man, but he was a mighty man. He was a victorious man. He was a valiant man. He was a hero. He was a war veteran. But folks like Naaman, without Christ, he was a leper. Here's a man that had it all. Naaman couldn't climb any higher, reach any greater role. He could have held his head high and boasted of his importance. But he was a leper. So he wasn't only an important man, he was an ill man. The lowest slave in Syria would not change places with him. Under his military uniform and regalia and his medals was a loathsome and a terrible disease. The book of Leviticus has something to say about this. In Leviticus 13, verse 45. And the leper in whom the plague is, that's, remember what it is, it's a plague. His clothes shall be rent or torn, his head bare, he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. Would you like to be with him? A man that, now although the laws in Israel were far more strict than they were in Syria, where Naaman would not have been going about crying unclean, unclean. The reality is, of course, he was alone. The plague had eaten into his body. Do you ever see someone that suffers from leprosy? They don't call it leprosy now. It's called Hansen's disease. Remember one time I was in the city of Jerusalem with Dr. Bill Woods. And Bill Woods is expert in this Hansen's disease and has cured many people and helped many people. And I saw a wee man in East Jerusalem sitting begging at the wayside. Yes, they still do that there. And he was covered in sores and wounds that seeped. He just looked a mess. I said to Bill, Bill, that looks like leprosy. Bill said, well, no, it's not leprosy. It's very like it, but it's not leprosy. But it gave me a glint of what it would be like to have this awful disease. When even yet, if you have this illness, this disease that's now called Hansen's disease, a rat, when you sleep at night, a rat can come and eat your toes off and you don't feel it, you don't know, and your fingers, and it happens so often. Now that's the physical situation. But spiritually, man, we're all born lepers. For leprosy is a type of sin, a picture of sin. And when you think what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say about men, and you'll read it there in Mark's Gospel chapter 7, these verses always cause me to think. Mark 7, verse 21. For from within, and you see, that's where we're dealing with here. We're not so concerned about the outward. From within, Jesus said, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these things, evil things, come from within and defile the man. Folks, that's our problem as sinners. Every sinful thought and action you've ever done, you did it because of sin. And you cannot master sin. It'll beat you every time. In the prophecy of Isaiah, wonderful book it is. In the chapter 59 of Isaiah, it says this in the first two verses. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, that's what the word is, have separated between you and your God. and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. What a tragic picture. God is able to cleanse you and to save you if you're obedient to him. The problem is sin makes you disobedient. And here's a man who was triumphant. Oh yes. Here's a man who was troubled but wouldn't yield. In this troubled state, Naaman found a friend. A little girl, a maid who waited on Naaman's wife. She had a good attitude. You know, she didn't say, as she might have done, and of other countrymen and women from Israel with her would have done, she didn't say, it serves him right. He shouldn't have raided my land and took me from my home and from my family and from my friends. No, she didn't think like that. You know, she was a link in a very important chain. Those verses there in the chapter 5 of 2 Kings 3 and 2 and 3. It says that they had come and brought her away captive. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would. Notice the confidence she had in Elisha. He will recover him of his leprosy. She had no doubts about this. Folks, I have no doubt about this either. That my Lord Jesus Christ can save you to the very uttermost from every sin, from every damning thought, from every wicked life. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are, where you've been, or what you've done. I tell you, I have a Savior, and he breaks the power of canceled sin, and he sets the prisoner free. She believed this. What a powerful testimony this wee girl had. Christian, you can be like the little maid in Naaman's home. You can tell others about this mighty Redeemer who's able to save. It was the message that sent Naaman to Israel for a cure. And he was really anxious for a cure. He was a man who was troubled. But you know, he was a man who was told. He was told what he had to do. The pity is he didn't at the first do it and didn't want to do it at all. Now notice that the price was wrong. Look at verse 5. The king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. Now, I looked this up. That's about 750 pound weight of silver. It's about 150 pound weight of gold. Now, when you think of what you pay for a wee gold ring that you can hardly feel with weight, think of 150 pounds of it. It ran into millions and millions and maybe billions of pounds in today's standards. But folks, this is something that money can't buy. Years ago, we were in Marietta, Ohio, preaching for Dr. Geiler. And I was with Sam Houston. Now, those of you who know Sam, and I would think most of you do, but no, we're talking about a rare character. And he has a big heart. We were in a jeweler's shop downtown Marietta, a very posh jeweler's shop. The man was called Mr. Ford. Dickie bow, coat, he was immaculate. We were in looking to buy something reasonably cheap for to bring back to the wives in Ulster. And Sam got into conversation with this man, this very refined man. The shop had a number of people in it. Sam told them who we were and why we were in America. And he said, "You know, Mr. Ford, you would be a man that deals a lot in heavy money and big cash and jewelry." "Why, yes," Mr. Ford said, "we do." Sam said, "You know, I want to sing you a wee song." And this was in a jeweler's shop. Once Sam said that, Brother Baxter was edging his way to the door. And he started to sing. "I've got something that money can't buy." The man was getting a bit uncomfortable, but it didn't do for Sam to sing the first verse. He had to sing another verse too. And the man couldn't go anywhere because he was trapped. But the sentiments of the song were right. "This is something that money can't buy." You will know the story, of course, in the book of Acts, chapter 8, well-known story, verse 20. When Peter says to Simon, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter." Money can't buy this at all. The prophet Isaiah, the man, of course, known as the evangelical prophet, he records in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1, "Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Folks, you can buy it, but you can't buy it with money. It's without money. It's without price. The price of Naaman coming was wrong. And I tell you this also, the person was wrong. Verses 6 and 7. He brought the letter to the king of Israel. That was the wrong person. He was knocking at the wrong door. And many a religious person in Ulster tonight is doing the very same thing. They're knocking at the wrong door. Some are knocking at the door of the church. They think because of their church, whether Roman or Reformed, that they're all right. But they're all wrong. There's only one that can cleanse you from your leprosy and from your sin. That's the Lord Jesus. Not only was the price wrong and the person wrong, the procedure was wrong as well. Now eventually, he goes to Elisha. Notice verse 10. "Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." It's not even Elisha who comes to him. It's a servant. Naaman was angry and went away in verse 11 and said, "Behold, I thought," there's the secret of it, "I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God." He thought wrongly. There was a great arrogance about this man. "I'm Naaman. I'm the deliverer of Syria. I'm the greatest man in the nation. Who are you to tell me to go to this filthy river?" And the Jordan is not a clean river. Reminded of a story I read about the great, the legendary Muhammad Ali. It was said that one time on a plane, the steward came to him and told him, "Put on your seatbelt." And he said, "What? I'm Superman. And Superman don't need a seatbelt." The man said, "Superman don't need no plane either. Now buckle up." and he had to sit down and do it. You see, he had to do what he was told. And that's what the sinner has to do. Man, if there was some other way that you could be saved, I would love to find it for you. And I'll tell you this, I would be willing to save every sinner in the Coleraine district and all along the north coast and the whole country. I would be willing. I am willing. But I'm not able, you see. But the one to whom we speak of and bring you to, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is willing and he is able to save your soul. Now, Naaman was all worried about this. His dignity was insulted. You see, Elijah wasn't worried about his dignity. Elisha was worried about his disease. And in God's sight, friend, all have sinned. There is none righteous. The whole world is condemned before God. You're just the same as everybody else. He was a man who was triumphant. He was a man who was troubled. He was a man who was told. And last of all, he was a man who was transformed. He did eventually obey. And look what happened in verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. He was clean. And notice immediately, he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. How he was transformed. You see, the evidence of what had happened was real. A man truly converted, truly changed, truly transformed. I want to tell you, it shows. I know men, and you do too undoubtedly, who were sinful, wicked men. Men who, when they came home of a Friday night, the children ran behind the settee to hide. The wife would have cowered in a corner, fearful, and on many occasions was hurt and abused and brutalized. And some of those same men came home, and there was a great difference noted even in their appearance and in their manner. He was able to say to the children, You've got a new daddy now. And you've got a new husband now. Because Jesus saved me just tonight. And folks, I want to tell you, it's real. Oh, the mighty power of the gospel. It's real. I remember as a young child, a young fella, stepping over my father in the hallway of our home. His two friends had left him there. He was paralytic drunk. Had to step over his body to get up the stairs. We left him there. When we came down the next morning, he was still there. You know where he is tonight? He's in the glory. Because before he passed out into God's eternity, Dr. Paisley led him to Christ. And he lived a short while to bear testimony to that. I'll never forget Ian Paisley for that, you know. Put me in his car. This was the days before there was security, as what there is now. And drove me up to the hospital after the Sunday night service. Spoke to my father in the hospital. Came back the next day, led him to Christ. But there was a transformation. Sammy Baxter's not in heaven tonight, Because he was a master of the lodge, and he was. Because he was an Ulster Protestant, and he was. But because he's a sinner saved by grace. And that's the glory of the gospel, folks. He had to go to the place of cleansing, and he did. He says in verse 11, I thought, but then it changes in verse 15 to, I know. What a big difference between thinking something and knowing something. Now you think that Christ can save you, do you? But you don't know. Because if you knew and really knew, you would come and you would trust him and you would be saved. And that's what you have to do. You have to come to God in God's way. During the war, there was a British soldier, and with this I finish, who was willing to give his blood to save a German soldier that was injured in the field of battle. When the German soldier was told that this blood transfusion was blood from a British soldier, he wouldn't take it. He refused it. The thing that could have saved his life, he said no. And friend, he died. You say, how foolish. And it was foolish. And yet that's what multitudes of sinners are doing in Northern Ireland and in Britain all the while. They're saying no to God's only remedy for redemption. Trusting, obeying the word of God. He had to obey God's word preached at him through Elisha. And when he did that, he was cured of his leprosy. If you do that tonight, you'll be cured of your sin. Man, if you're not saved, dear lady, come now to Jesus. We'd be glad to speak with you, spend time with you indeed. Not the first time that we had the joy of leading someone to Christ in a pulpit, one of the churches. God can save you in this pulpit, in that pew, just where you're at. Don't go away without Jesus, I implore you. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for the reality of the gospel, that there is cleansing, there is healing for all who will wash in the life-giving flood. When you speak to hearts tonight, even on the net and in this building, Lord, just save sinners. Write your word indelibly on every heart. And as we separate, may we do so with the love of Christ upon us. We ask it all, giving thanks in Jesus' name.